Literally, it's the sunrise. We're in a sunrise time. And it says that in the midst of that sunrise, that we've been like calves that have been stuck in a stall. And how many of you understand, for about the last 12 years, if you survived, you did well? Period. In this nation. It wasn't very God-friendly for the last 12 years. It wasn't. Wasn't in the last 4 years of the Bush administration. Wasn't in the last administration. You know, so I'm not doing a real political thing. It just wasn't. And the bottom line is we're in a new day. Yes. And be honest with you, it wasn't our fault we were stuck. Because until the gate is open, there's nothing you can do. There's a due season. And the new season we're in is a due season. And, you know, the danger we'll have is we think we're still in the last season, so we're still hiding in the rock until destruction passes by instead of taking new ground. Yes. And it said we're going to come out, and we're going to come out like calves released from a stall skipping, is what it says in New American Standard. Your youth, like a youth, I guarantee you something. You have to be like a child to do the kingdom stuff. Yes. Come on now. You have to. You know, and it says we're going to come out with authority because we're going to tread down the wicked. Yeah. And they're going to be like ashes underneath our feet, so we're going to come out on fire. Amen. Come on. Amen. And we're not going to tread down wicked people, but we are going to tread down wicked spirits. We are going to take authority. Come on. We are going to understand the authority of the believer like we never have before. In the midst of that, God says he's going to raise up a prophetic voice like the spirit of Elijah. That is literally going to cause the hearts of the children to be turned to the fathers and the fathers to the children. I believe two things are happening. God is raising up spiritual fathers, and because he knows a harvest is coming, and that prophetic voice is literally going to call the harvest in. As we begin to operate prophetically, literally, it's going to cause those people out there, blinders, to be removed so they can begin to recognize the fathers of the faith. Come on. And God says that's going to actually avert a curse in Malachi 4. Because always right relationship averts a curse. Come on. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have a lot of fun today. I don't know about you. I always have fun. In fact, if you don't enjoy God, you're not going to like heaven. Hallelujah. In fact, you don't enjoy God, you don't like earth either. You know? You're just miserable. Anyway, come on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to talk about prophetic progression, but we're going to stay in one area most of the day. It says, for whatever things were gained to me, these things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him, that's the key of everything. We may know him, not about him, we may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. How many of you understand, wherever you're suffering today, you need to fellowship with his sufferings? If you're physically suffering, you need to fellowship with his stripes. By his stripes, you were healed. If you're feeling rejection, you got to go back to the cross again. Where Jesus suffered rejection of all men, including his Father. The ultimate rejection. Why? Because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He became a curse with our curse. He suffered to alleviate our sufferings. He became poor on Calvary. Come on now. That we might be rich through his poverty. See, everything is fellowshipping with what he suffered so we might know the power of his resurrection. Come on now. It says, literally, conform to his death in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, But I believe this is a key word, I press. I press on. Some of you need to make it, this is your year to press on. Come on now. Now, you got to understand something. America has been given a reprieve. God showed me a seven-year window of opportunity. And he said, if we don't take advantage of the seven-year window, America, as we know it, is over. Period. You know, he gave us one more shot. Yes. So it's not a time to keep silent. It's not a time to back up. It's not a time to sit down and say, well, you know, this stuff doesn't matter when we all get to heaven. Well, be honest with you, that's been the problem. We've all been waiting to heaven, you know, to get to heaven instead of bring heaven to earth. That has been the biggest problem. We don't understand kingdom. We don't understand influence. All we understand is escape. We don't believe in victory. But things are changing. There's a new sheriff in town. Come on now. Hallelujah. You know, we got authority, all authority. Come on, we're pressing on. Come on. It says, by press, I may lay hold of for which Christ laid hold of me. I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but forgetting what lies behind. Forget the last years. Come on. Forget your history. Why don't you make history instead of remember history? Come on. What lies behind, but reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the life of the upward calling of God. We see three things here that are very evident that are always the progression of the kingdom. And everything begins and ends with the presence of God. If God doesn't show up and manifest himself, we haven't had church. Because we're not talking about him, we're meeting with him. Yes. And if we're not experiencing him, we're missing it. Yeah. Come on now. See, everything starts with the presence of God, but you can't hang around his presence without him talking purpose. Because if you hang around him long enough, he's going to introduce you to you. Because he created you for a purpose. Let me say something that you need to know. And this is a real key thing. No one has a right to define you that didn't design you. Which means no human being can define you. Because no human being designed you. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? So God, out of his presence comes his purpose, but that's not strong enough because we have to hang around till the power to fulfill the purpose comes on us. Amen. We see this, and I begin to realize, but everything begins and ends with the presence of God. Because if he doesn't show up, we're in trouble. I asked God before, I said, Lord, how come you showed up for years? Some of the things I preached were so bad. So bad. And I said, God, you still showed up. My theology was off. I didn't mean to be off. I just was. You know? I said, why did you show up? He said, because you wanted me. He said, there are a lot of places to this morning. And he told me, they said, around the country where they preach all the right things, but I still don't show up because they don't want me. Understand, the number one thing is the desire for God himself. Yes. And before a man can seek God, God must have first put the desire to seek him in the man. So you need to understand that it's literally all by the grace of God. God works it in you. Yes. Come on. And then he fulfills that which he works in you. Come on, somebody. We need to begin to realize this. Does this make sense? See, I remember I was about ready to preach on this, and it was so funny because I right before I got out, he said, I want you to ask the people. I said, this is what I'm telling them. May I have this dance? I said, what? He said, I want to dance with my people. I said, what? And he began to bring me all the scriptures where people dance before the Lord. And I found out something. God wants to do life together with you. He doesn't want you to do your best for God. He wants to do it together with you. He's wild about you. He wants to dance with you. He wants to love you. He wants to flow with you. Come on now. It's not just you doing something for God. It's God and you doing it together. Come on. It's always a together thing. Come on. And I said, wow. It's God doesn't want to do life without you. You shouldn't want to do life without him. And then he said, I want to tell my people I want to eat with them. And I thought, of course, Revelation 3, 19, 20, when behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I'll come in, sup with him and him with me. But we always use that for salvation. But it was written to the church. God said, I want to eat with them, I'll bring the meal. Come on now. So I started thinking about that. I said, then how come people don't let you in? You stand at the door and knock. And God will use natural things. I love porches. If I had my way about it, our next house will be all porch. I love wraparound porches. I just love big porches. Come on now. I just think they're the greatest thing going. So, we have a fairly small porch, but we have one. And I said, and God brought me back. He said, there are times people come to our house unannounced. There are times relatives come to our house unannounced. And we'll hear the doorbell ring about God. I don't know about you. It's God's answer to everything is eating. Have you ever noticed that? Come on. I really love that about God, because my family's a bunch of little big people. We're not very tall, but we're big. You know, my grandma was 5 foot by 5 foot. My dad was 5'5 by 5'5. I remember we bought a Polaroid camera when they first came out, so he'd take a picture of his toes so he knew what they looked like. We never missed meals around our house. When we were sad, we ate. When we were happy, we ate. In between, we ate. Come on now. In fact, the way I got my family born again was to tell them about the greatest meal ever, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that Jesus was the meal ticket. No Jesus, no eat. I got them desperate. But God sets a table in the midst of your enemies. When you're going through stuff, you need to sit down and eat from his presence. How do you know when you're eating enough, you're not aware of the enemies anymore? They're not robbing your joy. They're not robbing your peace. It's the bread of his presence. Come on. See, God literally, he says, hey, taste and see I'm good. Years ago, we had a president say, smoke marijuana, didn't inhale. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would anyone, anyway? I mean, come on. But you know, I go to church all the time. I can tell the inhalers. And I can tell the fakers. Come on now. You know, the fakers, they may be going through the motions. The inhalers, oh God, oh God. You know, they're, why? Because they got the Most High. See, God's here today. You need to inhale, inhale, inhale. Come on now. Whatever you need, it's in the atmosphere. He's here. Inhale. Come on. It's time to inhale. Come on. See, when you're hungry, you're filled with good things. But you know, when you're not hungry, you're already fed up. You can't feed someone who's not hungry. See, there's a deep that calls on the deep. It's like as a deer pants for the water. Why? Because there's more. And guess what? Every one of you determines your stopping point, not God. Because he's always offering more. But he will never push you beyond your desire. I found out the greater your desire, the greater your capacity for God. Come on. And a lot of people won't understand your desire because we don't all have the same desires. But Psalm 63:1 talks about how your soul can honestly be hungry for God, but then you know you're a total radical when your flesh yearns for him. I don't know about you. I want to feel God. I'm a faith person, and sometimes it bugs me with some word of faith people. Because our favorite thing is, I'm not moved by what I feel. Well, that's true if it's negative feelings. But to be honest with you, if we have not experienced God for months, something's wrong. There are moments you got faith it out. There are moments, honestly, you're not going to feel it. You just have to believe it. But if that goes on and on and on, something's wrong. You know, it's kind of like a marriage relationship. 38 years ago, even though my wife is only 29, I said, I do, and I still do. I'm 39, so I was one at the time. I was really young. At least that's our story. But, you know, I said I do, and over the years, I still do by faith sometimes. Come on. And a lot of times we're on the road. But if I never felt another touch from her, something would be wrong. Yeah. Come on now. I didn't get married to just have that type of relationship. Yeah. And God wants to touch you. Yeah. He wants to breathe on you. Yeah. He wants to hug you. He wants to mold you. Yeah. He honestly wants you to experience him. He wants to experience you. Come on. Yes. You've been made for each other. You are made for God. Yes. And once you begin to realize the presence of God is everything, come on. You know, the kingdom is in the King. Yes. Come on. Hallelujah. As we behold him, we're changed. As we see him, we become like him. It's amazing to me how many times, if I could do anything in America, I would put a supernatural hunger. You know, people asked us, how did you grow a youth group from about 5 kids, and in 2 years we had 7,000 decisions for Christ in a local church? 7,000 decisions among teenagers. People say, well, what was your program? Nothing. I think Jesus just took over our school. So we literally went, and for 3 days I explained what was going on as God began to radically transform thousands of lives. I mean, I've never seen one kid's prayer simultaneously. 3 floors of classrooms, everyone broke out weeping all at once. The presence of God was so strong in the place. I believe those days are coming again. I believe those days are coming again. I believe God said, I'm gonna come back. I'm going to begin to take back some of the areas I wasn't welcome, because my people are going to begin to pray, and my people are going to begin to use their faith, and I'm going to begin to manifest my glory in the weirdest places. Come on. See, I've learned something about God. See, John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that we know him, not know about him. In Psalm 27, verse 8, it says, when God spoke to me, says to you, seek my face, your response should be, thy face, O God, will I seek. You know, a lot of people don't know the face of God. They know the hand of God. A lot of people know what God does. They just don't know the God that does it. That's why I always say, don't embrace the move of God. Embrace the God of the move. Because if you embrace a move of God and he stops moving that way, you're going to be left worshiping what he does instead of who he is. And you'll miss the next move. Come on. But embrace the God of the move. It's a whole different thing. You know, I believe that. You know, it's how many of you have ever been in a situation where you look back and God was in it, but you couldn't see him then? I mean, we've all been there. I mean, I start thinking about Jacob. I mean, how dull can you be? You're out there, you see a ladder. Angels going up and down the ladder. It's called Bethel, the house of God. And at the midst of all that thing, after the vision, after the dream, Jacob says, God was in this place and I knew it not. I felt like, duh, come on. But how many of you have had those duh moments, duh, come on? I started thinking about, you know, one of my experiences, you know, I love tents and I love tent meetings. And I was doing a tent meeting in New Jersey and I was under a 4,000 seat tent. That's a big tent. And, you know, Jesse DePlantis was there and Tommy Barnett was there. Mario Murillo was there. It was a good, good series, really. But it was my night to speak. And I'm riding on the elevator. It's the hosting hotel or something, mega conference. And I'm sitting there, and this guy, I know he's going to the meeting because he's all dressed up, and he's got a big Bible. Come on. He looks the part. So he looks over at me because I'm carrying the Bible. He said, have you ever heard of this Woody Woodson dude? I said, yeah. Then he says, I'm his best friend. I have no idea who this guy is. I'm just so happy to have a new best friend. I almost walked over and gave him a hug, man. He said, I'm his best friend. I said, really? Then he told me things about me I didn't know. He mentioned my wife named Pat. I have a wife named Pam. Pam and Pat sound almost alike, one letter difference, but one letter gets you killed. You know? He said, I've got all his teachings. I said, well, I got some of them. I said, I used to have them all, but after I listened to them a second time, I threw some of them out. Preacher prerogative, by the way. Okay, you may think it's the greatest message ever until you listen to it. Come on. Truth. And I'm sitting there, and he, you know, he's telling me things about me. Again, I don't know. And I looked over at the very end, and I'm getting tickled. So I said, some people say I look like him. He stares at me, and he starts laughing. He said, no, you don't. Well, now I can't wait to get under the tent. Because the first 150 people are my people. Under the tent. I mean, they're either pastors, elders, relatives. But I have a few empty seats. I have to have my best friend. So I went to the head usher. I said, you see that guy? He's my best friend. Put him on the front row. So I got up to preach, and I went over. I said, hey, there's my best friend. He's just staring at me, and I hope he's still saved. I had a fun time. But see, obviously, he didn't know my face. How many of you understand? Many times, people, God shows up, we don't recognize him. If we start looking for him more, he'll show up more. Come on now. He'll show up at the weirdest places if we'll just start looking for him. Come on now. You hunger for his presence, you'll begin to recognize his presence. Does this make sense? See, what I've learned, once you found him is when the seeking began. Number one, you didn't find God. He wasn't lost. He found you. And honestly, he didn't really even find you. He was there all the time. What he did was remove the blinders. Yeah. All of a sudden, you recognized him. But that's when the seeking begins. You know, faith diligently seeks him. It doesn't just seek the word. There's a danger when we seek the letter and not the spirit. There's a danger when we worship the promises, yet they testify of him, we refuse to come to him. Come on now. There's a danger. We get real legalistic. And I found out, I remember years ago, my son asked me, you know, a question, and He said, Daddy, he said, how come people don't hear from God? And I love asking the question, answering a question with a question. I do it in counseling all the time. Because most people know the answer. If I can draw the answer out of their mouth, it'll change them forever. So, you know, it's already buried on the inside. Man of understanding brings it out. Come on now. So I said, Joey, how do you hear from God? And he said this. He said, Daddy, the moment I was began to speak, you taught me to worship. And he said, all I do is worship until the air changes, then I shut up and listen. To be honest with you, you'll know when your praise hits the right place, the whole atmosphere changes. Now you're in position to hear. The reason why we don't have more of the word of the Lord is we're not ministering to the Lord. When Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:1, as a young child, was ministering to the Lord, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, but the word of the Lord came to Samuel because he was ministering to God. You want to hear from God? Minister to God. Take time to worship him. Come on now. And once you get to that place, you can hear from God anywhere, any place. I mean, my son, we were at Noah's Ark, I think it was last year, America's largest water park. My son loves extreme rides. And I'm dumb enough to say, if you ride it, I'll ride it. We're about ready to go on a roller coaster tour, worldwide tour. In fact, there's one roller coaster in Germany. You have to put goggles on because it goes so fast it will blow your eyeballs out if you don't have goggles on. You know? He said, are you going to ride it? At least once. Go on. Why? Because I can. But we were at Noah's Ark, and they have this one ride that's featured in extreme rides. And it's straight down. It's just a straight drop. And you basically stand on these trap doors. They open it up, and it's quick. So I went, and I just praying I'd make it. I knew if I went, I was going to go quickly either way. I hit the water. I'm happy. My son hits the water, and he gets up, and he starts running. Well, I start chasing him. Now, you got to understand something. I run in my mind now. Come on now. I used to be able to beat him backwards. When I was his age, I could beat him backwards, up and down, 5 miles. Anyway. But nowadays, not so much. And I'm chasing him. I'm winded. He gets to the locker. He pulls out his iPhone. I said, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, we've been working on this thing. And he's doing it for Epic. He said, I've been working on this programming thing for years. He said, for a couple of weeks now. And he said, we've been stuck. He said, God showed me something on the way down. I said, what? You got to be kidding. You got downloaded while you were getting downloaded. Come on now. Come on. But you know, the result was $1.7 billion worth of sales. One download. One download. Why? Because he can hear from God. What would happen if we could hear from God? What would happen if we were everywhere we could recognize him? Come on now. I mean, our life would be totally different. You'd never be afraid because once you recognize his presence, fear goes. You wouldn't worry. See, and I found out you can't hang around God without being happy. You can't. In his presence, Psalm 16:11, fullness of joy. You got a happy pappy. Honestly, in Tulsa, we have a convenience store called Quick Trip. They're all over Oklahoma. They're wonderful. And, you know, I always get my coffee there. And I went in a few weeks ago, and they hired this new girl. And I was home for about 4 hours. Finally, she says something. She said, you know, I've been looking at you. I said, I noticed. He said, you can't be that happy. I said, what? She said, you can't be that happy. I said, I am. She said, why are you so happy? I said, I got a happy pappy. I said, my daddy's rich and he left me everything. Come on now. I said, I'm blessed. I'm totally blessed. And I said, my daddy's adopting. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you in the family. She looks at me. I said, well, I'm actually talking about Father God. And I said, the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. I said, you're not happy because you don't have the source of joy in you. You know, she prayed the prayer right there. But see, when joy comes, I don't believe the church will ever have revival until we get happy. I don't believe that. Who wants to go to Sadducee place? Come on now. It's sad. Some places, some Christians are the most depressed people I've ever been around in my life. You know, I'd rather enjoy. I mean, at least when I'm around people that are enjoying sin for a season, at least they're happy. Instead of the people that don't even like God himself. Come on. You know, some of you understand that. See, I've learned that power comes from being intimate with God. Those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Not know about God. Do you know? I remember growing up and we used to have those testimony services. And I hated them. I mean, they were the most depressing things. The old midweek testimony service, where that we'd sing a little bit, and people would wait. Does anyone have a testimony? Nobody'd say anything. Finally, people felt the pressure. So one old guy was standing up and said, yeah, I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost 45 years ago. Someone else was standing up, yeah, I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost 30 years ago. Then someone would stand up and, oh, God put cancer on me. God broke my bone. Killed my kitten. I mean, it was like a Western song, man. That's what I love about the book of Job is like a Western song until the end, and then they get everything back double. But I've seen there at the, oh. Well, I got newly saved, and I'd have my hand up. They didn't want to call on me. Before I got saved, every word out of my mouth was a cuss word. After I got saved, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. Come on now. I mean, I wasn't totally sanctified, wasn't. And this was a holiness church. They lived in a hole for years. So I'd raise my hand, and they didn't want to hear me cussing in church. But I want to testify no matter what came out of my mouth. So finally, they go, okay, Brother Woody, stand up. And I say, blankety blank blank, this is what Jesus did for me today. I heard the Lord say, finally, someone who's current. Now, if I talk like that today, if I use the same language today, something would be wrong. But at the time, it's where I was at. Come on now. But my heart was right towards God so God can move. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not your performance. It's your heart. It's connecting with God himself. Come on now. Do you know, God already knows things. You know, you don't have to be a fake around him. See, all you have to do is just love his presence. See, I've learned something. Right after I got saved, most people don't know this, I actually have an English degree. And for a little while, I actually could speak English. But then most of the people I knew who really spoke proper English had no anointing. So I started listening to these guys who butchered the language from Oklahoma and Texas. And I began to listen to the way they talk. And the sad thing is I picked up their bad pronunciation and enunciation. But at the same time, I still picked up the anointing. And I'd much rather have the anointing. I mean, because, you know, sometimes you can be an unlearned man, but if you've been with Jesus, it makes all the difference. Peter and John, people can tell when you've been with Jesus. People can also tell when you haven't been. I'd rather have a preacher who's been with Jesus. Come on now. Then all, because, you know, even my son, I always say, I said, my son's very, very educated. My son is a genius. But he really, he understands that you have to anoint inspiration above education. Because if it's out of order, it's dangerous. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, what I've learned is, you know, it's said that even God, you know, you imagine having a testimony service and God said, I want to testify of David. God testified of David. He was a man after his own heart that would do his will. I want him to say that after, you know, there are a lot of people, very few people I will ever share my heart with. I'll share all sorts of stuff. I won't share my heart because when you share your heart, you literally become the most vulnerable you ever will be. But God could share his heart with David. I want to be after his heart. Does this make sense? I want to fulfill my purpose in my generation, then I can die. Haven't really lived until then. And I want to be someone I believe God's calling us back to that first love. You know, most people have been in a performance trap instead of a relationship. We try to dot all the dots and do all the, instead of just enjoy the presence of the one we're with. And God's not into performance as much as he's into relationship, because anything that functions apart from relationship is dysfunctional. And when duty takes the place of love, joy is quenched. You can't be happy just because you're doing the right thing. You're happy because it's love motivated. Come on. That's why God loves a cheerful giver. He didn't say he loves all givers. Getting a little quiet. I don't know about you. I do know about me. All I want is the presence of God. I want the manifest. I believe most people are burned out because they're not coming unto Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that are weary, heavy laden. I don't believe most people are tired. I believe most people are weary. And all the sleep in the world won't remove weariness. Only the presence of God. You know, hang with him. Everything changes when you hang with him. You know, we need to be like Obadiah. I love that when they're bringing the ark, the manifest presence of God up. They put the ark on new carts because they didn't read the book. And two of Aaron's sons end up dying because of it. Try to stabilize it. End up at Obadiah's house, and it said the house, he was there for 6 months, it said the house was blessed because of the ark of God. You want to operate in the blessing of God, just have the manifest presence of God in your life. Wherever God is manifest, it's blessed. It's blessed. It's absolutely blessed. Come on now. I mean, it's amazing. It was so blessed to such a degree, he literally got addicted to the presence of God. So when King David read the book, God Done Right, and said, we got to bring the ark back, Obadiah, as soon as they started moving the ark, he told his family, pack your bags, we're leaving. He became a gatekeeper in the house of God. He said, basically, I can't live without the manifest presence. And be honest with you, I can't live without the manifest presence of God. I can't live without God showing up big time, big time, big time, big time, big time. I know a lot of churches that have actually built their churches by kicking God out, at least some of him. Because they don't want to have too much God. They don't want to offend anybody. So what they do is say, God will allow you to do this, but nothing more. And Holy Spirit, we don't want your gifts. We're going to call ourselves charismatic, but we're not. Come on. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm more concerned about God showing up than the people. Because if he doesn't show up, I don't care how many people show up. Because people don't satisfy. God himself satisfies. Does this make sense? See, what I've learned is God wants to do something very fresh. The Holy Ghost wants to come on you, change you into another man. Several years ago, two more things, I'm going to pray for you. But several years ago, I was at Oral Roberts University, so it was years and years ago. I was scheduled to go home on Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, because I love to eat. Some of you think I wish you'd shut up so we can eat. It will come. I understand. But, you know, I'm sitting there in my room minding my own business. In the Spirit of God, my dad had already bought me tickets, my ticket to fly home. I'm only 2 or 3 days away. And I'm sitting there in my room, and the Spirit of God said, I don't want you going home this Thanksgiving. I got something for you. And I said, Lord, it's Thanksgiving. Then I said, I started thinking about scriptures I could use to justify my disobedience. Come on now. I said, Lord, you know, the Bible says obey your mom and daddy. I said, I'm still living under their roof, so I need to obey them, and they sent me the ticket. So I'll call him up, and if he says I need to come, I'm going to have to obey him because that's what your word says. So I called my dad up, hoping he would agree with what I told him. I said, Dad, I felt like God spoke to me. I'm supposed to stay on campus. But you sent me a ticket. I said, the Bible says I need to obey my parents. I said, if you want me to come home, I'm going to come home. Because I have to obey you. My dad was saved a few months at the time. Less than a year. And he said, if God told you to stay on campus, why would you come home? I thought, man. So I stayed on campus and I ate my Thanksgiving meal out of the cans. I was feeling sorry for myself. But the next day, I went to the aerobic center. I was working out. And in walks Oral Roberts. Now you understand something. Oral never was seen on campus without a lot of security. And to be honest with you, most people don't know Oral Roberts University is a bunch of tunnels underneath ground where he would actually never be above ground walking on campus. He would always go from building to building underground because there were a lot of death threats on his life. So rare to see him, period, there, and he didn't have security around him because there were only like 10 people on campus, me and 9 foreign students. I looked over that and I said, you know, he walks over at me, I'm lifting weights. He said, son, you mind if you take a walk with me? He said, what's your name? I said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, I used to be a stutterer. I finally could talk, and he asked me what I was doing on campus. I told him I was studying for the ministry. He said, do you mind if I just share some secrets I've learned over the years? So I had a 30-minute walk with Oral Roberts. He shared with me how he prepped for meetings. He shared how he knew if there was a demon in the house. He shared basically the persecutions and trials you should expect. And while he was talking to me, my heart was burning. It's like on fire. I felt like I was in the road to Emmaus, whatever that was, where Jesus was walking and talking to the two men. And they said, our hearts were on fire as he opened up the word to us. And at the very end, he told me one last thing, and this is what I'm going to leave here. He said, very rarely did I ever get out. And he said, I would not even leave the back of the stage until I could sense the Holy Spirit came upon me. He said, when I did, he said, a few occasions I did, he said, there were no miracles. But he said, when I could sense the Holy Spirit coming on me, it was like Jesus himself praying for the sick. I honestly believe Luke 24:49 says, see to you don't leave Jerusalem till you're clothed with power from on high. I believe many of us have attempted to do the right thing without the power of God. And we haven't seen many results. I believe we need to get hungry for the presence, the power, and the purpose of God. And I believe this is a starting point. Come on. I believe this is our year for manifestation. It's our year for release. God told me that things have been held up are going to be released. Now, we're going to be released from some things that have had us bound for years. You know, things that we have not been able to get free of, some of the things that are hidden things to everybody but us and God. But the bottom line is we need to get freed up. I believe things are going to be released towards us. Come on now. I believe there's a release into this community. I believe God's going to call this church back to its original place, teaching a kingdom mentality and teaching people how to rule and reign. You know, I believe the training portion of the ministry is going to begin to get back into high gear, because I believe you let it down. It's time to pick it back up. It's a new season. The one thing that people like us can bring is experience. Maybe not as much energy as we once had, but we can do the experience part. Come on now. How many of you tonight, today yet, it's not night yet, but how many of you today would just, I want every head bowed, no one looking around, it's the way we do in America. If you fall asleep, God give you a dream. Some of you, your dream is of eating, so help me, we'll get there out there quickly. I need to ask a question today. Is there anyone today, if you die today, you're not sure you're making to heaven, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you walked away from it's time to come back and you need to get some things right. If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. Does everybody know you're okay? How many of you today would say, you're talking about me though, I'm ready. I've got to go to the next level with God. Just got to. I've got to get that hunger. I got to get that thirst. I want God to increase my hunger and my thirst. More than anything else, I want the manifest presence of God in my life. Some of you, honestly, if you need the healing, the healer's in the house. Anything you need is in the presence of God. You got to understand that. Everything is in the presence. There's a river that's flowing right now if we'll just get in it. Come on now. There's a river of healing. There's a river of deliverance. There's whatever we need, it's in the kingdom, and the kingdom's in the Holy Spirit. Come on now. So if you want prayer today, if you just want prayer for greater sensitivity, you want prayer, I want to pray for you right now. Come on up real quick. Come on. And be specific with God if you know what the specific is. Sometimes I have to get to God and say, you need to show me what I need to see so I can claim it. I always ask God, I said, put your desires in me, Lord. As I delight myself in you, give me the desires of my heart, because sometimes I don't even know what I desire. I believe revival is about ready to explode. I see revival. But see, I'm starting to not only say I see revival, I'm beginning to say I do revival. Because what I see scripturally is it's a see-do anointing. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. It's a see-do anointing. Come on now. If you can see it, you can do it. So lift your hands up. Begin to thank him for the more. That kingdom explosion. Oh! Things that, you know what God's doing? He's going to revisit things he showed you years ago. He's going to make them current. He's revisiting them, but he's making them current. This is a new day of explosion. Things he's placed in you. Everything's becoming new. Everything. Body becoming new. Fresh anointing. The church itself is being renewed. Nothing's going to look the same anymore. Why? Because Jesus is in the house. He's cleaning house. He's reordering house. He's bringing in the new. Hallelujah. This is the newest season of your life. Some of you, there's new grace on this new season. Oh, there's a new anointing on this new season. Not by our power, not by our might. It's by the Spirit of God. All of a sudden, God's infusing us with new life and strength. What was impossible 6 months ago, it's the new norm. I release that now in Jesus' name. Oh, some of you catching the healing. Some of you catching a miracle. Some of you, this is your time now. God's breathing all over you. The manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God. See, manifestation comes from the manifest presence of God. You get in the presence of God, things begin to happen. The kingdom begins to manifest. Bodies get back into place. Anointings come back into place. Joy comes back into place. Everything gets restored to its original position by the Creator Himself. We release that now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done now, right now, right now, right now. Things are beginning to change. Everything's becoming fresh and new again. If you can see it, you can do it. And God's changing the way you see things. Many of us, we have been caught in limitations. But those things are being broken off. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Come on now. God said, I'm about ready to change everything. I'm about ready to change everything. Everything's going to become new. Everything. We're going to get into that new creation reality. Now we are children of God. And that anointing's all over you for such a time as this. And you might as well dream so big, girl, it's ridiculous. Because you are a difference maker. And you know it. You know it. You're a fighter in your own right. Because you fight to see people set free. People who cannot defend themselves. You've become their voice. And God's going to begin to promote you more and more and more and more. It's an awesome thing. It's a kingdom thing. Understand that. God places people in certain positions. My son got a call right after the election from Google. He was negotiating with Google and several other high-tech firms. Google called him and said, we need a conservative programmer. Because they said, we don't have anyone here who can understand this new president. My son said, it's going to cost you. Well, he's got, you know, he literally has his own penthouse. He's got his own situation set up. But, you know, God's positioned him. In the midst of an interesting thing, there's a counterculture to his culture. He's going to bring the culture of the kingdom of God. See, that's what we're called. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. This is a new day. You're beginning to hear the voice of God clear again. Things are beginning to explode again. You might as well just let go of limitations. You're finally freed up. Freed up. Freed up. See, where the Spirit of God is, there's so much liberty, it's ridiculous. Come on. Dream so big. Many of us, we've created the box. It's time to obliterate the box we created. We limited God by what we've permitted Him to do. Come on. And it's weird because he wants to do more, but he said, whatever you permit will be permitted. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. So, you know, that's why he even told Isaiah, command the work of my hands. You know, why? Because he said, don't limit me, command me, command me. I want to do something, but I still need a human voice on earth because I gave you authority. Command the work of my hands. Why would he say we should pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? By the way, that's a kingly intercession. It's not a priestly intercession because it's a command. He said, command, command, command me to do more. And we're submitted to him, but he said, I want to do more. And he's about ready to do more than he's ever done before in your life. So you might as well just get excited. This is your time to dream. You're at the right place at the right time. Woo! Woo! You're catching the woo! So I thought we'd be at that woo! He said, what is wrong with that lady? Woo! Woo! I've been there before. People say, what are you? I have a little glory fit. Just leave me alone. I mean, I worked in a secular job. I'd lock myself in the restroom. People probably would sit out there and listen. Woo! I didn't want to disturb them in there. But, you know, God's doing a fresh thing. His anointing's all over your life. And I just release that freshness all over you. You're so precious, it's ridiculous. That anointing goes from top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It's a, you know, there's a breakthrough anointing coming all over you. We release that now. You might as well dream big, girl, because God got big dreams for you. He's so wild about you, it's incredible. If we understood how much God loved us, we'd ask for a lot more. You know? And many of us, we ask for what we think we deserve, which is nothing. You know, when you understand that, hey, he wants to do it. Just let God be God. Let God be God. This is your year to let God be God even more, even more, even more. You want to see a lot of stuff change for the better. What's going to happen is just God's going to show up everywhere. He's going to sit on some people. Woo! There's the anointing. He's just going to sit all over them. God likes to sit on stubborn people. I know he sat on me a lot. And just the weight of his glory squishes me into his image. Oh, sit on, Lord. Lord, I release that anointing now. I thank you for the power and the glory of God. I thank you, God, that you began a good work. You're going to complete it. This is a new day. Everything's becoming new. I thank you for the new chapter in his life. I thank you, God, Lord, that you, everything's becoming fresh and new again. And Lord, it's a time of excitement. It's a time to dream big with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You might as well get so excited it's ridiculous. Not by our power, not by our might. It's by the Spirit of God. He said, I began it, I'm going to complete it. Woo! Take another. Woo! There it is. Yeah, you're going to drink yourself happy. Whew. Not by our power. Not by our might. God's breathing all over everything. Everything's becoming fresh again. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. See, out of the pressure into the presence. That's what I hear. You know, I hear God just saying, just get in that flow, 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 flow. Flow. Sometimes we're so used to striving. Mm-hmm. You know, and yet here, be still and know I'm God. So it's almost like God said, I got this. He said, you know, even when you're sleeping, I'm working.
Thank you, Jesus.
So it's okay. You can sleep. I'll do the work. You can sleep. I'll do the work. Because there are times you have trouble sleeping because you're worrying about the work. So he said, hey, I'll give my beloved even in her sleep. I'm going to work on your behalf while you're sleeping.
Thank you, Jesus.
In fact, some of my best work will be done while you're sleeping. Because, you know, and all of a sudden you're going to learn the rest side of things. You'll find yourself worried that you're not worried. But it's so much more fun.
Yes.
It's almost like, wow. You know?
Yes.
You know, I think God wants us all to retire from worrying.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I asked God, I said, God, am I ever going to retire? He said, in one sense, if you're doing what you're called to do, you're not working. You're gracing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you just learn just to stay in the grace of God. Well, I found out it's weird because I raised a boy and he's raising me now in a sense because I'm watching him. You know, he always takes a Sabbath, always. He has more things going than anyone I've ever known. He said, Daddy, he doesn't even open the computer or anything for a day. He said, I don't care if Homeland Security. He said, they have to come find me. Because they can't contact me in any way. Because he said, if God took a Sabbath, I'm going to. And I believe this is a new season. It's a new day. I believe this is so much exciting. It's like you're going to begin to notice God's presence everywhere. Everywhere. He's showing up everywhere. And the weirdest things, that's why you're in the position you've been. That's why he's done what he's done with you. You know? It's like, you know him. You know him. He said, God, I don't know how we get things done, but we get it done. And it's all by the grace of God. It's all by the manifest presence of God. And you're going to see the favor of God round about you as a shield. And, you know, you guys are going to flow together to the goodness of God. It's almost like, wow, it's payback time. It's payback. It's almost like I'm making up for those years. Come on now. You know, I'm hearing God say, just enjoy. Enjoy me, and we'll do this thing together. We'll do the enjoyment thing together. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's strength. There's new strength coming. There's new anointing coming. Come on now. There's breakthrough coming. And there are things that for years, haven't been able to handle. God said, I got it. You know? I'm just opening the door, let him clean house. That's what I'm doing in certain areas of my life. I said, God, I have strained and strained and strained, and look at the mess my strain has created. And I'm just opening the door. This is one you got clean. I said, these could clean because you gave me the grace to clean them. Obviously, I have not learned how to lean into the grace to do this on my own without, you know, even with your help. But now I just need you to do it. Is that okay? It's, you know, it's the strength of God all over you, breathing all over you, dreaming again. Come on now. You know, your youth renewed like the eagles. Don't let, strength back. Oh, freshness back. That anointing, that prayer anointing back. Fresh mantle. Come on. Fresh oil. Times are refreshing. Custom made for this season in Jesus' name. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. You're catching something. It's yours. See, it's good up here. It's going to get better before this thing's over. So, y'all, I'll let you do whatever you got to do. It's your turn now.